Good morning. You are going to need a handout, so if you want to shuffle through your papers there and find it, you can refer to that.
Excuse me, and put up your hand if you'd like another envelope, because bag. We've been giving one per family, but we've got a lot left over. So staff, anybody with a hand up can have another package.
Well, I'm not really sure how much time I have, so I guess I'll see the two-minute sign and the one-minute sign when it comes. So, what is happening today with young people, with young men and young women today? My topic is really trying to give a different picture in terms of high school. It's something that might even sound a little bit strange to some of you. Our young people are being ravaged today by philosophies, by empty delusions of men. And these principles and these precepts and ideas are very much opposed to God and to any Christian. And they intentionally, even though you may not realize it, they intentionally are trying to undermine your faith. They have it deliberate. It's not by coincidence. Let me give you a quote from David Noble, who wrote Understanding the Times, which I highly recommend, and I put a brief bibliography on the back of your handout, and I would highly recommend. If you even read one of those books, you would be doing yourself a great favor. David Noble. The current culture of worldviews engulfing Western culture is designed to dethrone Jesus Christ and replace the biblical Christian worldview with ideas that are fallible, but made by very clever human beings. Paul, I'll just use this quote that he, of course, himself says, the conflict pits the wisdom of God against the wisdom of the world. As Paul says, where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the wisdom of men or world's wisdom foolish? I'm just quoting from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 20 and 25. God's foolishness is stronger than human strength. This bombardment against Jesus Christ is done so deviously that the church, I believe, is being duped and compromised by endorsing the dominant teenage culture of today. And I'll quote to you Christopher Schlecht's investigation of the origins of high school in the United States. It's rather startling. He found that two blatant humanists, one G. Stanley Hall, and of course his understudy, which name might be surprising to you, John Dewey, the father of modern education, proposed and implemented age-segregated high school for students so that we could optimize their learning and their development. I'm talking about high school, right? This group was the cream of the crop teenage students, you know, 15, 17. And their evolutionist idea was that if you separate them, they're going to do far better away from those older and those younger. And of course this thinking, this idea was propagated in American universities 100, not quite 100 years ago, maybe 80, 90 years ago, and they've continued to this date. If you were to check, you know, a lot of the belief systems of the profs that exist today, you know, in departments of philosophy, they're essentially Marxists and humanists. You need to know that. So Americans have taken this high school model and adopted it into their school system. We're no different. We've done the same thing. And so has the church, essentially. And we've splintered, and we're doing damage control today on our youth. I don't have to go into a lot of statistics, but I can tell you that most students who have a faith and head off to a secular university, I'm just generalizing here, but the majority of them chuck their faith. I am asking you, what's the alternative? Would you consider another form of education? I'm suggesting to you that there is. There is a completely different paradigm. And I won't easily forget a movie that I saw that probably most of you have seen, or some of you anyway. It's Ben-Hur. And I can remember the Roman captain, and he was arguing with Ben-Hur or talking to him about something, and he said, if you want to fight an idea, do you remember what he said? You get another idea. That was his words. And that's what we're really talking about here, is I want to suggest to you another idea. And so let me give you a bit of a explanation. And this is from Josh McDowell's book, Last Christian Generation, where he contrasts the Greek and the Hellenistic point of view. Here's what he says. Practically all modern education, including that of most churches and Christian schools, employ a form of teaching based on a Hellenistic model of education. Greeks shaped much of how we think today about education and disseminating information and truth. Essentially, the Hellenistic approach is to present a student with a rational and logical constructs of information that he or she may require to learn to determine if the subject matter has been in fact learned. Students are asked to regurgitate the information back to the teacher. This is called testing. If the student can accurately repeat the information, he or she passes the test, and of course the pupil has been taught. But the Hebrew model of education is quite different. The goal of the Hebrew model is not mere memorization of repeatable facts. The goal is to live out the truth. In his approach, truth is designed to lead to transformation. Truth in this educational approach is to be learned by practicing it in real life. According to the Hebrew model, the student has not learned a thing when he or she can just repeat it back to the teacher. It is learned only when reflected in the student's life, the child's life. In this approach, the testing is in the living. The question becomes not whether the student has the information correctly stuffed into his or her head, but rather, how has the truth transformed the student attitudinally and behaviorally? So, with this whetting your appetite a little bit, I hope, I would like to present to you, what is God's perspective on education? Well, I'd like to give you an if statement, if this is true. If your life depended upon the completion of the high school diploma, then I can see why you would spend all your time and energy to complete it. But I have another if for you, and that's this. If your life depended upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then I hope you will, for a few minutes, carefully take the time to listen to what the Lord has to say about education. Even this institution, it's rather interesting, by its name, King's University College, suggests the King of Kings has some significance to education, to your education. So I want to confine my position, and I am very much limiting my talk, as you obviously know. But I'll start with the first point. Parents are required to educate their children who are entrusted to their care. That is God's will. That is His plan. There is a lot of freedom in that statement, but there is a lot of responsibility too. Deuteronomy 6, and I'm sure most of you know it. Hear, O Israel. I'll just quote 4-7. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I think it's pretty clear what's going on. Mom and Dad, you are the educators of your children. And it's a humbling fact. But we don't want to flee from it. We want to accept the challenge and, by God's grace, do it. I'll just quote one more here. Proverbs 1, 7-9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Did you hear that? The beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Point two, fathers and mothers are made responsible to bring up their children in the instruction and training of Alberta Learning. No, Ephesians 6:4 says it very clearly, in the instruction and training of who? The Lord. It's clear. There's no ambiguity. That's where your education must lie. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1-4. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Point three. Strong young men and young women, allow God's word to perpetually remain paramount in their lives. It's not knowledge. It's not just facts we're talking about. It's really knowing Him and knowing what He has to say. 1 John 2:14-17. I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known Him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the world. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You've only got one life right now. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to invest it in God's education? Point four. Children, young men, young women, you are to remember your Creator in your youth. Okay? That's a clear instruction. That's Ecclesiastes 11:9-12:1. I'll just read a little bit of it. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine eyes, in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from the flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You're accountable. You better talk to the boss. Don't throw it away. Number five, my last point. Young men and women, you, and this is going to shock you. Actually, I think one of the other facilitators quoted it earlier. Young men and women, you are to trust in the Lord and not in your own understanding. And I'll take the context. I want you to understand what the context is. This is Proverbs 3:1-7. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of man and God. And then this verse. I think Mike had quoted it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. It's clear. If you depended on your understanding, you wouldn't be depending upon His understanding, His wisdom. And His wisdom, well, we all know how important it is. So let me abruptly stop. Sorry. I would like to recommend some questions for you to think about. Not solutions, specific solutions, because I think God deals with each of us individually. He knows our abilities, capabilities. But I think the first question there is, am I a child of God? I think you have to ask yourself that question. Do I know Him? Because He treats His own as His own children. One of the remarkable things is that as a young man or young woman, child, He is treating you as his own child. So he's going to correct you just as your mom and dad do, just as important as it is. He takes that role too as your father, heavenly father. Am I a child of God? Because if you're not, that really puts a different picture on your life. How important is God's word to me? You need to ask that. How important is it? If that's the source of truth, then you'd better make sure you've got that source clear in your mind. How shall I love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind? He made you. He knows you. He knows you inside out. How do you want to respond to him, your creator, your Lord, your master? You need to answer that. What do I need as a parent to prepare my child for life, for this life, for the one to come? What's important? What has God called me to do with the life he's given me? What do I need to do? What's the most important kind of education? Why should I consider God's wisdom? Thank you very much.